Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of the Lending Forward podcast. My name is Sarah Rogers. I'm your director, but also your host today for at least part of it. We have a little bit of a different type of episode coming your way. We've never done something like this before. It's like a two-in-one, buy one, get one, if you will, but whatever you want to call it, I'm going to tee things off here. And I am joined by Cody Fox, who is another host of Lending Forward. Cody and I are going to kick off the convo, and then he is going to take it for the rest of the episode with a special guest to continue on to our topic. But hey, Cody, thanks for joining me.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
So the reason I'm here chatting with you first is because we need to ask Cody a few questions first to kind of tee it off. And today we're going to be talking about Hurricane Helene that hit, I think, a couple months ago now, believe it or not, by the time this airs. But I want to talk to you from the point of view of a community member experiencing it, and then also from the point of view of a mortgage professional, someone who works in the housing industry when something like this happens. Cody is down in Asheville, North Carolina, and he unfortunately saw this happen right before his eyes. He experienced it, saw his community and its members experience it as well. So Cody, just first want to check in. How are you? How are your neighbors?
Right now, most everybody in the neighborhood are we're doing a lot better than what we were a couple months ago at this point is when this episode airs. There's still a lot that needs to be done for the community. There's still at this point we are still on bottled water. We do not have drinkable water, just with the damages that the water systems experienced. They are working as hard as they can. Now, we do have running water. We can flush our toilets. We can shower. We can wash our dishes as long as we've got the necessary settings on the dishwasher. I mean, there's all kinds of posts about that to follow on the government websites and so forth too. But it's a day by day thing. I'm hoping while we have this conversation, my internet doesn't decide to do something strange and mess up this. But it's just our new normal right now. It's every day slowly getting better, but that's where we're at right now, though.
Yeah. Well, we'll forgive you if you get a little glitchy or something. Yeah. We understand. So take me to right before it happened. Did you have warning? What was going on?
Yeah. We're in the mountains of North Carolina. A hurricane, first of all. I don't believe the weatherman when they say, oh, we're going to get a blizzard and we're going to get, a foot of snow on the ground most of the time. And I look outside and it's just a little dusting or something. So, of course, we were like, we'll get a little bit of rain. It'll be fine. We'll be fine. The night before and on my house, we've had rain probably the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before this happened. And the rain from that actually got in my crawl space. I probably had a good 3-4 inches in my crawl space. You know, it was something easily gotten out Thursday evening. We went to dinner like normal, and I did not, again, think anything of it, because why should we in the mountains think of a hurricane coming our way and impacting us?
Yeah, kind of unheard of, right? Yeah. That's still, hard to wrap your head around. But okay, so didn't think by any means it was like what was about to happen was about to happen. And rightfully so, understandably so. So tell me about day one, week one. What did you see happening among your community, its members, when it got real? It got real quick.
Day They won a lot of, and this is, I apologize for the humor in this, but the day one, I was like, oh, we'll get power back tomorrow. It'll be fine. We had no cell service. We had no power. I think I rolled over. I normally wake up about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning and still had power. I was like, oh yeah, we're good. We made it through. About 6:30. Some of the trees behind my house started falling with the wind, and it just barely, I remember one just barely scraping the corner of my house with the branches. Like if it had come over a foot difference, I would have lost one of my bedrooms in the back. I counted about 8 trees that had fallen in my backyard, all thankfully going in different directions. And let me preface this by saying, this is me personally. So this is what I was experiencing day one, thinking everything is fine. We'll get cell phone service back soon. We'll get, I was like, I don't need my cell phone at this point, but let's charge it just in case we start getting service back. So I'm sitting in my car probably 7 o'clock at night at this point, because I did a puzzle all day. I was prepared for that. Two of my friends were walking down the street. It was kind of dark out at that point. I was just expecting the neighbors to be walking down, and I realized who it was. And I'm like, Cody, get in the car with us. Let's go. Earlier that day, we did have a couple of trees on my street that had fallen. We had gotten those cleared out. And I was like, I'm staying put. There's no point in me going anywhere. I don't need anything. So I did not see anything until Friday night. The River Arts District, if you are not familiar with Asheville, it is right beside the river. And it is probably, I'm going to say, about 2 miles from my house. It is along the interstate. The water was up so high that it was almost to the interstate. And I'm using O'Reilly's as an example. The water was up to the O in O'Reilly's as we were going by the interstate. Absolutely no streetlights. Absolutely no. I mean, it was just, you could see the eerie dark water, but you could still see the reflection of their logos or their signage on the top of the roof. That's when it hit me that this was a lot worse than what I was thinking that it was. Saturday, after we rode around, and we should not have been riding around by any means. We should have been off the roads, allowing the ambulances, the first responders and so forth to get out. But even after day one, I'm thankful that I had a grill that had gas. I've cleaned out my freezer and started cooking things because it was going to go bad. So we had food for a little bit, but there's no gas. I attempted to stop and get gas somewhere because, again, did not prepare anything. Did not expect that I needed to keep a full tank at all times. The gas stations were closed. The grocery stores were closed. The lines at these gas stations were so backed up once they did get open that I think at one point I had sat for roughly 2 hours to try to get gas in that first week. I was lucky enough that my parents live down the mountain in the Piedmont area, and visited them for a night, got me and my dog out of here, and went to Walmart the very next day. And people were looking at me like I was crazy with as many water bottles as I had and the grocery cart full of things that I was going to pack my car as much as I could. It was 3 carts worth I could fit in my car, but was able to bring back all that stuff to distribute out to people that did not have the ability to get out. Right. Some other friends, too, ended up going to visit their parents in the Charlotte area. And came back with a whole U-Haul full of things. People during this were, in that first week, especially the first couple weeks, were so generous with the donations to help us with funds to be able to go get those items and bring it back up for people that needed it. And every single, when I came back with those water bottles too, and then all the other just necessity items, I was met somebody. At this point, we had thankfully had cell phone service. It was very, very spotty. You had to be in very certain areas for it to actually work. But the when I was dropping something off to somebody else, another person, how much for that case of water? I was like, no, take it, please. The need was so urgent in that time. There were people that were dehydrating at this point. And if you don't know what kind of food situation these people had either during those first couple of weeks, if they weren't able to get out, because you're like me, I go on a weekly basis. I don't overstock. I'm thinking about it now, but it's the acts of kindness that got our community where we were able to function physically and emotionally at that point. We were running off adrenaline, Sarah. We were running off adrenaline for sometimes I still feel like I am just a little bit. And that was the first couple weeks. I think power finally came back on for the majority of Asheville 3 weeks later. Okay. Water about the same, and you know, cell phone service is still a little spotty. So same for the internet, but right now the majority of people have power and water after that 3-week time frame.
Wow, you said a couple of things that made me think of a couple of things, and that was, at first you thought, oh, this will just, you know, last a day. That sounds familiar. Pandemic hit. Oh, yep. two weeks, we're good. And then, you know, we saw what that ended up being. And then also you mentioned how the generosity, the donations and everything for those first couple weeks are, you know, a big reason why your community is at the point it is now, you know, the progress that it has made. And the national headlines are gone. Not people aren't really talking about it. So we know the damage is still there. What are the conditions like right now? You said that, you know, the power's back on, but an entire highway was wiped out and kind of collapsed. Like where are we with those sorts of things?
Yeah. So, when we were running the supplies around to when we're getting the donations, and we ended up, a lot of my real estate agents, I'll be talking about Monica here in a little bit as well, but a lot of my real estate agents use their offices for hubs for these supplies. And so we were running them out everywhere. We could go down one street and it looked like nothing happened. Go down the next street and there's not a house left and maybe not even a roof left. And use the River Arts District as an example too. Most everything beside the river is gone at this point. We did go visit it. They did a soft opening at the River Arts District for those artists that were able to and still had. And Sarah, there was at least, I'm probably overdoing it, but it felt like at least 10,000 people in that area just supporting the artist. There was absolutely no parking. It was a wonderful thing to see everybody coming together for that soft opening. Yes, there's a lot of devastation still, and there's a lot of people that are bringing in supplies and bringing in what's needed. It's not as much as it was before. We still need it, though, for those areas. Yeah. The Burnsville area, the Marshall area, the smaller cities that nobody really have heard of. Exactly. They're the ones that got hit the hardest because they are in a more rural area. I know I-40 from Asheville to Tennessee has been washed out with, I don't even, at this point, I don't know when it will be opened back up. And we're not expecting probably end of the year that we'll actually have water that we can drink out of our sink either. So that's really where things are right now.
Yeah. I feel like it's hard to fully comprehend unless you're living it, and you definitely have been and are. And I thank you for sharing, because I know that had to have been one of the toughest and most emotional times to get through. And like you said, you still feel like you're running on adrenaline, because if you stop, you have to keep going. You can't stop, right? So more from like a work side of things now, we'll kind of bring it, unless there's anything else you want to share on that front. I want to kind of tie it into, you know, our main overall themes of, you know, the housing industry, mortgage. What has this meant for business as a mortgage professional? As you said, as we know, houses were sadly destroyed once, you know, the initial devastation of that has settled. What are we looking at here business-wise? What resources can people use?
You've got your FEMA, you've got insurance for those that have lost, and that has had, we've had them in the market over the past couple months as well, helping out, being boots on the ground. But as for the mortgage side of things, we have really honed in on the FHA 203H loan, the disaster relief loan. And frankly, that's not something I thought I would ever need to utilize in Western North Carolina, but it's great that we have that offering for individuals that have lost everything. I am thankful for the majority of the clients that I've reached out to were okay. I've got a couple that they physically, they're fine. Their house is no longer there. And we are working, with that 203H program. But at the end of the day, people still have life that they've got to live. And what I mean by that is if they've got to move, they've got to move. If they've got to buy, or, then they've got to buy, or we've got refinancing that's happening too, because they want to renovate what has been fixed that the insurance is not covering. We are doing renovation loans for them. So again, I'm just happy we have this accessible to us to continue to help the community in a financial way that we absolutely need right now.
Yeah. And if you're a real estate agent in that area, reach out to Cody. He's a licensed mortgage banker. I'm not sure if we ever really talked about that on here, but I know that he's very passionate about it and a wealth of knowledge. So if you have more questions about that program or anything, if you have, you know, clients that need that. So as you mentioned a little bit earlier, we're going to be talking to Monica next, one of your industry partners that you work with. So I'm going to kind of pass the host rein on to you here, Cody. Is there anything else you wanted to cover before you we move on? You have your chat with Monica Russo.
I think that covers it. I appreciate you letting me say my piece on this, and we will let Monica have hers next.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you for sharing, and we will pass it over right now. Keep on listening.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I now have Monica with us. Monica is the broker in charge here and owner of Realty One Group Pivot here in Western North Carolina. Monica, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go into more about your experiences with the hurricane and so forth.
Thanks for having me. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you, guys. I am a Western North Carolina native. I'm actually eight generations Yancey Mitchell County. My dad's family is from there, and my family grew up in my dad and his family grew up in Burnsville. So it's a place is obviously very much home to me and my family. And I grew up here, went to UNCA, and then moved away, came back, started my career in real estate, moved back, and have been working in it in several different capacities since then. And so I now kind of live in between Hendersonville and Asheville, and I have five kids, and I just love what I get to do every day.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about your experience. I just talked to Sarah a little bit ago about how what it was for me day one, week one, up here in the northern Asheville area specifically. But tell me about your experience in the first couple of days.
Wow. Well, my house flooded. Yeah. And so that early that morning, the kids and I were up. They had called out school and went downstairs. I thought everything was fine. The power went out. And then I was like, step in it's water. So we spent the next 4 hours sweeping and getting water out. We were not as damaged as so many people, and we were so grateful. But at that point, we had no electricity, and really the cell phones had kind of stopped working, I guess, at that point.
Right.
I was like, well, this isn't just your regular snow, storm that we have around here. So I guess I better cancel this birthday party I'm supposed to take my kid to tomorrow, not understanding what happened, because we didn't have any communication. We had no power. Like I said, cell phone wasn't working. And then I had people begin to contact me and say, oh my gosh, are you alive? Are you okay? You know, what's happening? And, you know, these started kind of trickling in, I guess, probably early Saturday morning.
They had no way of getting in contact with us to even know anything. Nothing was getting delivered to us, but.
Exactly. Everything was just, you know, it was a joke with the kids. How many times is the same text going to pop up? It was like 37 times. Like, are you okay? You know, I'm trying to contact my daughter. And then I was like, oh my gosh, all of my people, you know, and I then, you know, began trying to contact them. I was able to get out. I live in Henderson County, and I was able to get out after we did some cutting and kind of drive, because I was trying to meet another family member that was trying to get home. And we were, every way was blocked. And we were just watching the flooding rise and cover the interstate, cover places. And so we just ended up coming back home, hunkering down, hooking up the generator and just trying to, figure out what was going on. We went out, helped the neighbors. Many people in our neighborhood, trees were down, all of that, and just trying to figure out what was happening. Well, by Saturday, obviously, when the text started rolling in, like you said, we figured it out, and I began contacting, obviously, family members, friends, and the agents that work alongside me, and trying to say, hey, are you okay? What do you need? You know, I can at least get out of my house. Maybe I can get someone there. You know, and honestly, it took like almost a week, you know, kind of fast forwarding for me to get in touch with everybody, which was very gut wrenching for me. But it was strange enough, you know, how, you know, it works. Someone actually drove up from Murphy, which was not hit as hard as we were.
How far is Murphy from where we are?
Over 2 hours away. Yep. So, you know, but everybody thinks it's, you know, here's Western North Carolina and Murphy's over here.
Right.
So he drove over, and it was a lifesaver. He drove and brought me gas for my generator, which thankfully I had a little, you know, pull generator, and he brought me a Starlink and some cash. And he said, you're going to need this. And he went back along his way and a little bit of water. Right.
Right.
And lo and behold, that Starlink became our lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And with that lifeline, I was able to begin at least the people that had connectivity, contact them. And we just started from there. And I said, what do you need? And they started telling me where they were at. And at the same time, all my connections and network from all over the country began contacting me, and I said, we need stuff and we need it now. And I just started shooting out a bunch of lists of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's how it started.
Now, Realty One Group is a nationwide. I mean, you've got in Asheville and then Hendersonville offices. Mm-hmm. They're nationwide. So you had a network of people to be able to
helping. I know I spent, me personally, you spent a lot of time with you and the agents at the office there, just with the truck coming. Tell me a little bit about the truck that we unloaded, how that came about.
Just, you know, these folks, we're connected, you know, through real estate and just our network. We all jump in and help each other. And they contacted me on Facebook and said, Monica, we're your partners in Georgia. We've got some stuff for you. Where can we bring it? And I said, oh, my gosh, this is fantastic. And they said, well, we're picking up from like three different places and we've got a moving company that's helping us. Wow. And the next thing we know, they said, well, we're coming and we have a huge truck. And I mean, a huge truck. Do you have people to help? Because it took them 3 hours to load the truck. That's how much stuff. It was stacked bottom to top. And when they showed, we you were there, we formed a fireman's line, and it took us an hour and a half with all of the people coming. And just, you know, we take one and we just passed it along the lines. And it was just an amazing, I mean, my heart was just overflowing. But I had so many people just reach out to me via Facebook or text or email and say, we want to do something for you guys. What can we do? Can you get this stuff out? And I said, absolutely, I can. I said, we will find a place. We will drive around, which we did a few times.
Yeah.
it was amazing. Just the outpouring of love and just support that we got from the people all around watching what was happening to us and saying, we know you can't, you need, you know, you guys have helped, you know, we always jump in to help and they say, you need help now, let us help you. Right. And it was just an absolutely beautiful outpouring of love and support.
I think in real estate too, we've got such a, I mean, part of what we do is having that huge network of people and the amount of individuals that we were able to in our circle, in our sphere, to either A, check on and help, or B, to get help for these individuals. So, I mean, we were definitely the intermediary between helping make this happen and helping the community get on its feet again in those first couple of weeks. And it's a blessing to be able to say that we were able to do that and that we do have these contacts.
Yes. Absolutely. I like to say that we're like the, you know, we were the divide in that gulf, mm-hmm. because a lot of people don't really understand the value of, you know, or what even people in real estate do. And our number one thing that we really do is connect people. And I said, we were made for such a time as this because we were able to draw on all of the folks that we do business with and that we meet and that we have such great relationships with. And they, everybody came together and it fit like a glove. And we were able to be that connection. And it was absolutely humbling and just an amazing experience to do that and be able to jump in and help our people in their time of need.
Yeah. And with while we do this podcast with Lending Forward, I mean, we are this is a real estate geared podcast. So let's switch gears to business just a little bit too. On how was business in the first couple? Let me back up. How was business when we actually were able to get connectivity and cell phone service and email and so forth versus how it is now, and how you see it going forward, or how it is going forward?
That's a great question. Honestly, none of us cared about business. What we cared about was our people.
Right.
Our people. And we checked on all of our clients. We began checking on the folks in our community, our neighborhood, and then our community. And we were just so ultra focused on making sure people had basic resources, basic supplies, water to flush toilets with, water to drink, a can opener, candles, those sorts of things. We were so hyper focused on that in the beginning so that we could meet folks' basic needs. And then from there, we began saying, okay, shock, you know, after week one is starting a little bit to wear off. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. My house is damaged. I have, you know, I don't know what's happening. I have a lot here and I don't know what to do. So you know, we began reaching out, getting answers and getting support that way, you know, and now we're back to really now folks are saying, okay, I've contacted my insurance. I've contacted FEMA. This is where I'm at. This is what I can do. You know, this is what I have. What can I do? Right. And so this is the time that we're now, you know, really getting back, you know, connecting you guys with our, you know, our clients, our friends, families, folks, even strangers that have reached out to us and said, hey, we know that you're, you know, your heart's in the right place and you're helping and serving the community. This is where I'm at. And I need some really good advice. And so that's where we're at right now with mm-hmm. with our business is in beginning, you know, helping folks in that rebuilding process.
You know, I think it's something you said along the lines of you, if you do good and you put good out, then the business will come. And that's just a part of you doing that good for the community and for the people around you.
Absolutely. That's it. That's right. You know, the money and the business always comes. We have to, our job is helping our people. And that's what we focused on. And that's what we did. And I think in the time to come, we're going to be able to help them business-wise. Now that we've helped work on, there's still many people that need help, and I'm not discounting that, but a lot of folks that we've been able to help and stabilize, now we can help them with the business side of things and the things that are them for the rest of their lives, these next choices that they make.
So now that we talked really about the how things are going, how it went the first week, the first month, and tell me a little bit about what it's going to be like going forward for the market, for you, for your agents, everything for our community.
Absolutely. I think this disaster really shows what's most important in life, really. It really helps you bring, you know, the main things to be the main things. Mm-hmm. And I liken it to, you know, saying that our values really came out for our community during this time. And I say that we're redwoods because redwoods are strong and they're tall and, you know, but their strength comes from the interlocking of their roots. That's what gives them stability. And that's what creates that community. And that's what I think that we're going to see going forward is this strong interlocking of community as we continue to move forward with this. You know, our strength lies in connection, not competition.
And we would not have been through this without the community. That is for sure. Yes,
exactly. And so moving forward, what does it look like moving forward for us as an industry? I think it's going to be very similar to other disasters that we've seen. We've had a lull, and now we're going to have a time where people need housing again. And so we're going to be very busy helping folks find places, build places, sell places, getting them back into loans, finding new loan products that are the best fit for them. And now, right now is the time for agents to really make sure that they have strong lending connections and folks who really know their products, really know the options for clients in this time. You guys are obviously our go-to for this. And it's super important that we just continue to get back to the basics, checking on the people in our sphere, checking on the people in the specific communities and neighborhoods that we serve, and helping them systematically with whatever they need. We need to continue bringing that value, bringing that connection. And then when the time is right, we will help them through their next transaction.
Yeah, it's the networking with the lenders, with the contractors, with the inspectors, with everybody that's involved with it is even more important, not just for the community to have us in it, but us to have that community ourselves.
Yes.
So that we can share those contacts with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had someone call me yesterday and ask me about it. I said, that's not my area. I said, but I know someone that can give you the better answer. And that is what's so important is because right now we're all leaning on each other for our specialties. And, you know, we're the redwoods too. We're linking together and, you know, strengthening through this process as well. And we're learning and growing and being able to really serve our folks. And that's all this is about.
Man, there's people that we've met that we might not have met on this too. It's so strange that COVID kind of drove us apart.
Yes.
And at least in Western North Carolina, I feel like the positive in this is it definitely brought us closer together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Yes.
So where do we go now? And what advice do you have for agents that might be, I hope they don't have to go through something to this extent, but what advice would you give to agents that might go through this, whether they're in Florida or the wildfires in the West? Any natural disaster could happen, unfortunately, at any given moment. What advice do you have for somebody to prepare for that in our business?
I think continuing along the theme of everything that we've said, make sure that you have a great network of knowledgeable professionals, because start with that in your community and then make connections throughout the country. Those connections will one day come back and be such a blessing to you and help you, not just for referrals for business, but in our case, it was packages. I'm still getting packages every day from folks all over the United States, sending items so that we can get them out to our community. And so the best advice that I can give is to make sure that you're with a group of people that share your values like we do, mm-hmm. and that you have a strong network of folks behind you and beside you.
I love it. And that doesn't just go for business. That goes for life in general.
Absolutely. That's right.
We normally end with asking what you're going to be doing to lend it forward, because that's the name of the podcast. But in this case, I think we've really covered how we're going to continue lending it forward in our community and just in general. So if anyone that's listening to this feels like they want to give or donate, you can reach out to either of us or even go to our Instagram page, The Lending mm-hmm. Board, and ask about where we can send you for that. It will definitely be used, appreciated at this point. Again, I know we talked about it a little bit before with Sarah, but the time of us doing this podcast, we are still on water bottles right now. Yeah. And there are places throughout town that have drinkable water for people to go fill up their jugs still. Yeah. So any little bit is going to help continue to help our community. So Monica, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us for this. And I'm glad you've got the connections that you've got so that we could continue.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Join us next week. And thank you for listening.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.